Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Fincantieri 9 months 2020 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gaglia, General Manager. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning to everybody and welcome to the third quarter conference. I'm here with Giuseppe Dado, our CFO. In a year characterized by unprecedented challenges for businesses and households, Fincantieri demonstrated its ability to react, its responsiveness, its resilience, and the courage to invest for the future. People and client first. As far as our effort for safety, health of the workforce, of all the suppliers, we have to say that we've been able to protect production in our sites. As a matter of fact, the number of contagions has been contained to below 3%, and actually the number regarding our direct employees, colleagues, is well below that number. And it also proved to be a very cohesive experience for all of us, as demonstrated by the internal survey, which demonstrated that more than 90% of the colleagues appreciate the effort for protecting the workplace and their health. Just for your background, roughly every day we have 40,000 people working in our shipyards in four continents. Regarding our support for clients, we've been basically protecting all of our orders. No one has been canceled. We've been delivering 3 ships during this pandemic period, 14 so far, and we also managed to gather 4 new orders and also providing financial flexibility to our clients, therefore strengthening further the relation with them. We've also been managing to invest for growth, as demonstrated by our diversification program, which is clearly having some sensible and hard results. Just looking in more details on the numbers, I'm at page 5. As we were saying, it's also important to look at a new orders that we've been taking. One is on for U.S. Marine, and 3 have been in the new fields of our activity, particularly by VARD. As I already said, the measure for prevention and mitigation of the contagion risk has proven effective. VARD maintains its break-even, and it's a very encouraging order intake so far. Fincantieri boasts sound funding capacity with liquidity and credit lines to support medium-term development. Also thanks to a loan in excess of $1.1 billion granted by a pool of banks and guaranteed by SACE. Regarding third quarter results, you can see that it's in excess of $1,165,000,000 with a BDA of $81 million with a margin of 7%, which is better than the previous quarters. We may also say that third quarter's production activity is basically in line with pre-COVID performance. You can see the numbers in this chart, and you can have the comparison. I would highlight the net debt as being moving north, as a touch above 1.4 billion, and this is also the result of what has been going on in terms of providing financial flexibility to shareholders in the COVID impact. As a matter of fact, the number which we calculated of this COVID impact for net financial debt is roughly 600 million. EBITDA is being impacted by 70 million, and more details will be provided in the following pages. So it's important to say that all in all, COVID-related extraordinary costs are roughly 150 million. We're saying before that investing for the future, we can also see that our backlog is roughly 37 billion, used to be 32 billion one year ago. We have record high soft backlog, also thanks to great performance by the naval business. We plan to deliver Costa Firenze on time for the fourth quarter, according to the new delivery schedule. And fourth quarter, we are expecting that production will be in line with pre-COVID levels. In terms of diversification, we would like to highlight performance in the naval business, and there will be more to say in the coming pages, electronics, systems, and infrastructures. We'll also be investing in innovation and in sustainability. And as a matter of fact, there are new orders regarding new fishery units and another support operation vehicles for VARG, plus an experimental fuel cell-powered vessel, Zeus. And it's also important to mention that our joint venture with the Chinese CCSS is proving successful also for our accommodation business. As a matter of fact, Marine Interiors just announced that it will be providing 2,800 cadence for the first Chinese cruise ships built by SWS. And we also announced yesterday that Fincantieri Nextech, which is the former INSIS, a company we bought a year ago, with IBM and Autostrada, has been setting up an agreement for innovative systems to monitor of the highway network. If we flip page and we go to page six, we got some update regarding our focus on strategic developments. I believe it's hard to underestimate the impact of our U.S. operations for the future of a company. FMM is, as you know, is Fincantieri Marine Marinette. It's a prime contractor for the first-in-class guided missile frigates with nine additional options for the U.S. Navy's. U.S. Navy's is the most important client in the world. We're also being awarded a contract for design engineering of large unmanned surface vessels, which represent a growing and innovative field in which efforts is being concentrated. We've also been investing for air sanitation systems, and all in all, we can say that innovation will continue to be a key feature of our efforts, of our investments in people and resources. We already mentioned about VARD, breaking even, and we also built a cutting-edge stern trawler for Luntos to be delivered in 22. We want to continue our diversification away from oil and gas, trying also to follow the path for growth represented by wind farms, fishing farms, and trawlers. These are areas for growth, which we believe will characterize VARD strategy for the years to come. In the infrastructure, there has been the opening ceremony of the General Bridge held in August 3rd, and we also reached an agreement with Bologna in order for investment for styling of their stadium, which has been declared as a matter of public interest by the municipality. In defense, we signed a second contract with OCCAR, and which is Organization for Joint Armament Cooperation, for feasibility of the mid-life upgrade of the four Horizon frigates. And regarding Nextech, which again is a new name for INSIS, the company we bought a few quarters ago, we're being awarded a European tender for optronics and infrared seeker emulators to be supplied to the Italian Ministry of Defense. Sustainability. Zeus is an experimental fuel cell powered marine vessel, which is of paramount importance for our effort for environmental sustainability. And we will continue to invest and we'll keep you up to speed with future developments. We got that. And in terms of innovation, we received the Mike Awards in a global company category. Going to page seven, I would say that the messages here are about growth significant growth and opportunities in the naval business. This is what has been achieved, and you can also see the expected deliveries. It's also about diversification. We have a very diversified pipeline, which is really important for a future. And in terms of deliveries, I would really underline the extraordinary effort by the whole organization and all the workers and suppliers by sticking to our production goals and delivering 14 ships from 9 different shipyards. Page 8, you can see backlog deployment. You can see that there is a visibility, which is a strong one, in both cruise and naval, with delivery stretching up to 2027, a year in which cruise clearly has been going down in terms of new orders. You can see the extraordinary work done in previous years, and you can see the level of visibility we can provide our clients and our shareholders. This is even true of naval. Naval, there are not just U.S., but also opportunities which will be captured in international markets. And this segment, we believe, will continue to present a growth vector for Fincantieri. I already commented about offshore and specialized vessels, but again, it's important to say that there are, this is testify the effectiveness of the restructuring in VARD, that there's still some work to be done, but also the fact that we're also diversifying away from the original oil and gas and trying to position ourselves in a competitive way in the newer areas of growth. Before, when we sum it up, 14 units delivered, 4 new orders, and 88 ships in backlog, with strong visibility and probably diversification never achieved before, and with good positioning and new trends of growth for our shipyards. I would hand over to Giuseppe to comment the financial results.
Thank you, Fabio. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We now move to page 10 and start going through some financial data, and we start with the order intake and backlog. I'm on page 10 again. Well, the key message here that is that, as Fabio said before, we managed to preserve our backlog whilst at the same time increasing the soft backlog through especially the opportunity and the win we got in the United States with the program of the U.S. Navy frigates. Of course, if we look at the right of, on the left, at the left side of the page, the order intake for the year, the comparison with last year is absolutely meaningless, as last year we had a record levels of orders. This year we are roughly at 1.9 million of order intake. We expect to further order intake in the next few months coming from the naval business. Also, the total backlog as of the end of September is at almost 36 billion euros, including soft. That gives us a lot of visibility for the next years at 6.3 times revenues of 2019. Again, the preservation of the backlog at this point in time is key in our strategy. Revenues. Page 11. Production volumes due to COVID-19 were down almost 20% compared with the pre-COVID estimates. And that led us to a loss of revenues of 945 million euros. Again, here, comparison with last year has no meaning. The main message is the loss of revenues due to the production shutdown and the rescheduling of the production plan. The total number is 945, mainly related to shipbuilding and systems and components, although in system, in equipment systems and services, revenues were up 1.6% year over year, and this is thanks to our diversification strategy and the growth we are seeing in the infrastructure business and the, in the electronics. in the offshore and specialized vessel segment, revenues were down only 1.1%, but this is mainly due to exchange rate effects. As a matter of fact, if we do the comparison in a like-for-like exchange rate, revenues were up 5.8%, and Fabio mentioned before the relevant order acquisition that we had in the last 9 months. Moving on to EBITDA, please note that there is a substantial improvement in results between first half of 2020 and third quarter of 2020. In June, we closed at 5% with 119 million euros. Right now, we are at 5.7 with a loss due to the rescheduling of the production of 71 million euros. For those who like to compare with this result with the last year result, EBITDA levels in the third quarter of this year were even better of EBITDA levels of the same quarter of last year. The 71 million euros, only 6 million relates to the last quarter, and this shows again the fact that we were able to resume production even in such a difficult environment. For the fourth quarter, we expect production to go at full speed. Capital expenditures, page 13, were broadly in line with last year, but the point I want to stress is that notwithstanding the difficult situation in the yard and the shutdown of the yards for a month in March and April, we were able to keep the pace of our investment plan, and this falls within the strategy of improving production, improving efficiency, and preparing the group to resume the growth path that we started before the COVID-19 outbreak. On net working capital and financial position, of course, the impact of the slowdown in production is evident in the net working capital level. Of course, cash-ins are skewed towards the fourth quarter. During the fourth quarter, we already delivered one vessel, the Silver Moon, 2 weeks ago, and we expect to deliver the Costa Firenze by the end of the year. So cash-ins are postponed in the final part of this year. As Mr. Gallia said before, the effect on net debt levels due to the pandemic is estimated in roughly 600 million, and this is both due to the rescheduling of the production plan, the rescheduling of the deliveries, and the slowdown in the production. Now I leave the word to Mr. Gallia for the outlook.
Thank you, Giuseppe. If you go to page 16, you can see a focus on cruise, which still represents more than 50% of our business. We are heading towards a gradual path to recovery, expecting 2021 as a kind of a transition year and going back to some kind of normal or new normal in 22. You can see that there has been temporary suspension in Europe. CDC lifted a no-sail order in U.S., and all the operators are taking decisive actions to comply with the strict guidelines which have been set up, while the association announced a voluntary suspension through December 31st, which means year-end to meet the health and safety requirements, which has been decided. It's also fair to say that all major operators have been investing to implement rigorous safety protocols, and clearly when expecting the next few months, we can probably envision a gradual resumption with reduced occupancy rates, clearly protocols very strict, which should provide clients with effective safety, because they've been investing a lot on embarkation procedures, and also increase onboard testing in order to create a very safe environment. Clearly, there will be new standards, and all in all, clearly, we're also waiting, like the whole world, to see the effectiveness of the vaccines, and probably this will take time. That's the reason why we're expecting that 2022 will be a return to a new normal. When talking about the company outlook, as we already said before, we have very solid visibility regarding our backlog. It's a very diversified one in a very difficult period for the world. It's important again to highlight that the production workers have been safely going back to the shipyards, and there will be an impact, like there has been, but it's important to highlight that fourth quarter production should be in line with pre-COVID levels. Regarding crews, Enchanting Princess and Silver Moon have already been delivered, will be a new one before the year end, Costa Firenze. Naval business, it's about U.S., which is an important transforming project for us, because we're going to be prime contractor for U.S. Navy and U.S. Coast Guard. There are opportunities in the naval business at international level, and as a matter of fact, we're also expecting to progress with orders for the Qatari Ministry of Defense and for fleet renewals of Italian Navy. As Giuseppe said before, financially robust and adequate liquidity credit lines in order to tackle this crisis, and as we said before, with the lines which have been provided, with a guarantee by SACE, we're expecting we can challenge, we can walk through this challenging period. And diversification projects are starting to pay off, and we continue to look for our execution on the plans we have for the next few years in a strong competitive position. I will stop here, and we're happy to take your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. One moment for the first question. The first question is from Alessandro Pozzi with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two. The first one is on revenues. Clearly, a strong improvement sequentially going from the first half into the 9 months at the top line. But if I look at Q3, I think in shipbuilding, we are still a little bit below what the company delivered in last year. And I was wondering what is still missing to go back to a level of revenues that is more in line with what we've seen pre-pandemic. Also, the second one is on net debt evolution. I appreciate you haven't released the new business plan yet, but I was wondering what sort of a net debt we should see into maybe year end, and how you see, maybe if you can give us an update on net debt evolution for next year. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Alessandro. On your, Giuseppe Dado speaking here. On your first question, let's look at the past first. If you of course consider that we closed at 3.5 billion in revenues this year, with 945 million of lost revenues, and you add those numbers, you easily find out that without the COVID-19 pandemic, we would have been way above last year. Third quarter shows a recovery of the production pace, of the production rate. First half of this year, we lost 2.7 billion, million hours in production. In the third quarter, only 400,000, compared to the original production plan, not compared to last year. Comparisons with last year really are not meaningful, as the company was really in a growth path in terms of hours and therefore revenues. What we expect for the end of the year, we expect to pick up production even further. Of course, we're not giving a guidance on the end result, but it should be broadly in line with last year. Okay. As with when the situation will go back to normal, to a normal situation, I would say that at this moment, with the information that we have at this moment, we foresee a recovery starting from next year. And we already stated that during the presentation on the first half results. On net debt, first message, important message is, as Mr. Gallia said, the group has the resources in terms of credit lines, in terms of cash, to face the current situation and what we foresee in the future. We have worked very well. We increased further our capacity. So at this point in time, we do not need any other increases in this capacity. We consider the debt level that we have reached in the third quarter and what we are going to see towards the end of the year as let me say, the peak. Of course, this is what we see under the current assumptions in terms of deliveries and in terms of the production schedule. For the end of the year, from now till the end of the year, we expect net debt to stabilize, even if we deliver two vessels in the fourth quarter. And why is it so? Because at the same time, you know, inflows will resume, but at the same time, outflows will resume back to normal, and of course this will occur first. Okay, that is why we expect net debt to stabilize from third quarter to fourth quarter, and we can fairly say that we have reached the peak levels. Okay,
thank you. Just going back to the revenues, is it fair to say that the increase in profitability was driven by a higher share of the revenues from naval? And do you expect that to be the case in the coming quarters, more revenues from naval?
No, because, again, if I take out COVID, the cruise business was in a very important growth path. We are also due to the record levels that we reached last year in terms of order intake, we do expect the share of revenues in cruise to increase. We expected it to increase, of course. Now, we do not take it into account in this expectation the contribution coming from the U.S. Navy program, which will start more likely starting from 2023 to contribute to revenues in a substantial manner. Okay.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. And the business plan, do you expect to release it with the full year results, perhaps?
Sorry, say that again.
I was wondering the new business plan, whether we're going to have an update with the full year results.
Will be communicated when we will have, a more stable scenario on the end market, notably in the cruise business. It could be possible that we communicate new targets on the occasion of the presentation of fiscal year 2020 results.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Look at the cover page of The Economist of this week. There is a little light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes. Understood. Thank you.
The next question is from Monica Bosio with Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good evening. Good morning, everyone. My first question is on the profitability on the fourth quarter. Given that the production volumes will be back at the pre-COVID level and considered that Vard Offshore is at a break-even, Vard Cruises has improved. Can we expect for the fourth quarter a further improvement in EBITDA margin versus the third quarter, or is it too aggressive assuming this? And the second question is on the COVID cost, 149 over the 9 months. Can we expect that it's all, or should we expect some further costs in the fourth quarter? And the very last is on marine interior contracts on the 2,500 cabins. Can you give us some rough indication of the value of the contract? Thank you very much. Hello?
On mute. Sorry, I was on mute. On your first question, profitability, let me be cautious here. The third quarter was a very good quarter. It shows a trend of improvement. Let me say that we do not expect this trend to continue substantially, although, as we said in June, once the situation, the end market stabilizes, cruises will start to lower again. The fact that we are able to preserve our backlog is the key point in our strategy, in our core market, and the necessary premise to resume the growth path under which we started, let me say, to walk 3 years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We will see improvements most likely in 2021, 2022. Okay, 2020 still is a difficult year, although we can say that we as Fincantieri and, of course, the world, we're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can you repeat your second question?
COVID cost,
sorry, 149 million euros as of the end of September. As we said, there are two components in this COVID cost. The loss in operating leverage,
mm-hmm.
which did not increase in the third quarter, so it has stabilized. What we have seen is an increase in the cash costs for all the DPIs and the safety and health and safety measures for all across the yards and all across our offices and departments. We do not expect, of course, we expect still to incur these costs in the third quarter, and we all, you know, we all read the news in the newspapers about the levels of the spread of the disease. What I can say is that we do not expect further losses coming from the loss of production hours at this point.
In the operating line, okay. So something more, but just related to cash cost. Okay. And okay.
On the value of the contract for the cabins, we do not disclose the number. But usually the value of the supply of cabins is roughly 10% of the total value of a vessel.
Okay. Very helpful.
We're a little bit above 50 million euros.
Okay. Okay, perfect.
Thank
you very much. Very helpful.
Welcome.
The next question is from Matteo Bonizzoni with Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Two questions, basically. The first one is on this 600 million of impact on the net debt, which you said was caused by, let's say, the rescheduling of the production, delivery, and so on, so basically by COVID. What is the time span in which you expect these 600 million of extra debt to be reabsorbed? Is already mostly in 2021 or maybe on a longer time framework? And the second question is basically regard the availability of your customer to accept deliveries in cruise in 2021. So you say that you have 8 cruise ships to be delivered. If I remember correctly, 5 or 6 are by the Italian shipyards and the rest, the 2 or 3 other smaller are by VARD. I mean, my reasoning is that there will take time for your customer to return to generate cash. We know that they have burnt a lot of cash over the last months, so the restart of the cruise activity, we don't know yet, depends on the vaccine and so on, but will be probably a gradual. So I wonder, in 2021, what is your feeling on your customer availability to take the deliveries of your ships? And maybe can you elaborate a little bit the role of SACE in this framework? So maybe it's a fact that they are in some way helped by SACE to face this burden, this financial burden, to take the deliveries. And so maybe we discover that they are really available to accept these 8 deliveries. So can you elaborate on this point? Thanks.
Yes. On your first question, the time to bridge the gap, of course, the gap will be reached gradually, and we expect to close it most likely towards 2022, on the back end of 2022. And as I said before, there is a timing mismatch between, we rescheduled deliveries. We offered better payment terms to our customers, and on the other side, we slow down production. The slowdown in production has improved the cash position by decreasing outflows to suppliers. Now, the resume of production will cause the resumption of payments to suppliers. So we will see on one side, we will see inflows coming from the deliveries in the fourth quarter, for instance, and from deliveries next year. But on the other side, outflows will resume quicker than inflows. So that is why it's going to take 1.5 to 2 years to completely close this gap. On deliveries availability, of course, the new delivery schedule has been agreed with the owners, with the clients, and therefore, is the result of a negotiation between a willing buyer and a willing seller. So I can confirm that at this point in time, we will deliver all the planned deliveries, all the planned vessels next year. As with the role of SACE, of course, the export credit financing plays a key role in this market. In Italy, in France, in Germany, and in Finland. As a matter of fact, the export credit agencies of these four countries have agreed during spring on a debt holiday scheme by which they allowed a standstill in principal payments to the cruise owners for a year. Now discussion is ongoing for maybe further measures on one side. On the other side, the second element is that SACE has confirmed the insurance coverage on the loans for all the vessels that we are going to deliver in the fourth quarter of this year and for the vessels of next year, and basically for all the vessels in the backlog as far as we are concerned right now. So therefore, I don't see any serious problem there. That is why, I mean, we are allowed to say that the backlog is confirmed. I hope I gave you a thorough answer.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Emanuele Gallazzi with Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Two questions from my side. The first one is on the naval segment. You mentioned that there are important growth opportunities. I just was wondering if you can provide us an overview of these opportunities. The second question is on the infrastructure business. If you can just give us more color on your strategy on this business and what could be the next steps. Thank you.
On the last segment opportunities, of course, as also Mr. Bono declared, stated after the board meeting yesterday, we have real negotiations with foreign countries to export Framtide frigates. This is one. The second one is with the Italian Navy on a possible project, and this is public information because it has been the funds have been budgeted for the defense for the purchase of two submarines. These are the opportunities that we refer to when we speak about further potential order intake in the near term. On the infrastructure business, I'll start. The important milestone on infrastructure, of course, is, and it's not just a milestone that's important from a business perspective. It's important for the country. It's important for the company, for Genova. It's the completion on time and on budget of the Genova Bridge. And this work gave us a lot of visibility there. Recently, we are bound to soon close the project for the stadium in Bologna. We want to enter into the port infrastructure businesses as we see this as a collateral business, given the fact that we build ships already. And, there is a huge need of infrastructures in Italy. We want to put at value also our capacity to manage complex projects also in this business. And we will try to pursue opportunities both in Italy, in anything, let me say, that requires complex steel work, and also abroad. Again, in the infrastructure business related mostly to ports structure.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Maybe I can just, this is Fabio, maybe just can add a few comments regarding the naval business. Growth in this sector is primarily coming from Asia, let's say the Gulf, and clearly, even if not growing at the very same growth rates, would have in particular U.S. Paramount importance, particularly the latter. As you can see, we are very well positioned. Our main product, which is frigate, considered to be best in class at international levels. And you may clearly understand that being the provider as prime contractor for the new frigates, FMG, the future frigates, is something which has an importance even in terms of perception around the world. Beyond the countries with which would be in agreement, which has been disclosed, there are others which might want to work with us. So it's important to and you know that some of the characteristics of the naval business are particularly positive for all the companies working in the sector. Regarding the infra, Giuseppe has already said very clearly, but we would like also to highlight the fact that we want to stay close to our core competences. We are probably one of the major transformer shaper of steel, not only in Italy, and we do very complicated products, so that if we need to use the skills and experience and adapt to new projects, infrastructural ones, that is very close to our DNA. That was happening with the bridge, and more can be done. And it's also important to know that when we need skills, was also taking the opportunities of having skills in some companies, which unfortunately has been hardly bitten by this crisis, before we can intervene, investing what is needed, but that is particularly in terms of guarantees, in order to pursue projects in areas, again, which are close to our DNA. All the water works are very good work, are very close to our history and experience and our growth opportunities. And by the way, Fincantieri is very well recognized around the world. So that when we do something, we tend to do it in a very serious and effective way, appreciated by the clients. So this is, we're not going to pursue 360 degrees infrastructure. We want to be focused, stay very close to our experience and very consistent with that.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Gabriele Gambarova with Banca Akros. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning to everybody. My question is on the rescheduling effort. I see that during Q3 there was, let's say, one cruise ship shifting from 2022 in terms of delivery to 2023. And I was just wondering if this effort, your talks with the clients, are virtually over, so the rescheduling effort process has come to an end, or if you see it as something that could go on with possible further delivery delays.
Okay, Gabriele, good morning. Giuseppe Dado speaking here. Yes, the answer is yes. Negotiations and with the owners are over, so we can consider the current delivery schedule as frozen, of course, at this point in time. We do not, let me say it differently, we do not have any open negotiations on delivery schedules at this point in time. So this is basically the production plan that we expect to deliver in the next 2-3 years.
Okay, perfect. And can I ask you even something similar on the naval vessel side? I mean, I saw that there were a few changes in the delivery schedule at the margin of 2020, on 2021, even on 2023. So maybe a general comment on this side. I mean, this is something related essentially to COVID.
Well, COVID has had an impact also on our naval yards, although to a lesser extent. But the changes in the delivery schedule that you see simply comes from the shifting of the whole production progress. And this has been done under the current contracts, also due to the fact that we basically shut down the yards for a month, also in the naval business. But this is it at this point in time. But this is it under the current scenario.
Okay, thank you. And very last question from my side. I see that the offshore wind business is booming, literally. I see these very strange vessels for the installation of huge wind farms being awarded to Nordic yards. Do you see an opportunity there? Do you think your Nordic yards are, let's say, adequate? I mean, could push a similar opportunity, because I really see a big market, apparently.
Yes, there is. This is a promising market. We acquired one vessel, and of course, we have other leads, commercial leads, right now. But let's be prudent here. Of course, we expect to fully replace. The oil and the traditional, let me say, the legacy business, the oil and gas offshore market. And on that market, my personal opinion is that, you know, we're not going to see a resumption of the sector to previous levels. We're never going to see that, also because, you know, the approach to oil, to fossil fuels is, I hope, quickly and dramatically changing. It is a promising market, nonetheless, the offshore business, the wind offshore business. Again, one vessel so far, we expect more to come in the future, but it's really too early to say what stake we will have in that market and what presence we will have on the market, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Matteo Bonizzoni with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, just a quick question on the construction loan. So in addition to the 600 million of deterioration of the net debt coming from COVID, you also had the 300 to 400 million deterioration versus 2019 in construction loans, which are now reached 1 billion. 2 points. One, can you provide the split of this construction loan between VARD and Fincantieri parent company? And the second, should we expect also the construction loans to have reached a sort of plateau at around 1 billion? Thanks.
The split between between the mother company and VARD is 800 on Fincantieri and 200 on VARD.
Okay.
We do intend to keep using construction loans, but again, we our funding strategy is aimed at minimizing the funding cost, of course. As of now, the cost of funding is roughly 1.2% overall, which is good. Of course, we are in a very low interest rate environment. On your comment, though, maybe we could have been more precise on this, but the 600 million is the total impact of the COVID-19 rescheduling effect. Now, we have commented this on net debt levels, so on the 1.4 billion, But you know, it's a question of what solution, what funding solution I have available at what cost. So the coverage of this gap of this 600 million comes both from increased net debt and increased construction loans. We have discussed the 600 million specifically commenting on the debt, net debt levels, but you know, money is fungible. Consider that in the 1.4 billion euros of net debt, we have roughly 1.4 billion in cash in our accounts right now. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Dado, Mr. Gaglia, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.